Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church podcast. We pray that this message will help you in your walk with Christ. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is What We Know. The big idea is that we can face our uncertainty in the confidence that God is always at work for good.
As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th verse. Although truth be told, you probably don't even need to turn in your Bibles to this passage of Scripture, because this is one of the verses in the Bible that you most likely have memorized. In the 8th chapter of Romans, the 28th verse, Paul writing to the church offers this word of promise, and we know, he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God works for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. That's one of the certain truths that we can lean into in every uncertain time. Dave Barry is a columnist, a syndicated columnist. For years he wrote for the Miami Herald, and newspapers around the country would pick up his columns because Barry has this unique perspective on life. Most editorial columnists, most opinion columnists that you read will be serious and somber, but Barry, Dave Barry, is anything but. He has this zany, comical outlook that I know over the years I have found refreshing because of how they have been for me, those columns, a respite from the more serious things that I have read and the somber things that I have been called upon to deal with. But I'll never forget some years ago, one column that Barry wrote that was as serious as a heart attack. It was an article that described his anxieties and uncertainties around an accident that his son, a teenager at the time, had suffered. Those of you who are parents, or those of you who can remember being teenagers, the stress and the anxiety your parents may have felt every time you were leaving to go out. Well, for Barry, he got the call one evening that his son had been involved in an accident. He rushed to the scene. His son was lucid, conscious, but in terrific pain. And Barry wrote that the only thing that I could think to say to my son was to tell him that it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay, even though Barry acknowledged in his column he had no idea that what he was saying to his son would in fact be true. He did not know that everything would be okay. I think we've all found ourselves in those kinds of situations where we have faced a time of crisis when we weren't really sure of how this thing's going to work out. We didn't know what the outcome would look like, and so we felt like we needed to lean upon some truth, even though that truth may have seemed at the time to be nothing more than a glib assurance. This is going to work out. This is going to work out. Or we have been with someone in such a time. A time of crisis when we have felt the need to say something that would lessen the anxiety. We didn't know how it was going to work out, and so we told them everything's going to be okay, even though we could not say for a fact that it would. But when you find yourself in such a situation, in such a season, or you are trying to help someone work their way through such a circumstance, what else is there to say? What else is there to say? Well, the Apostle Paul actually took a stab at that question. In a time of crisis, what do you say? What can we know? What can we be sure of? In his letter to the church at Rome, in the 8th chapter, as Paul is writing to a church, inviting them to understand the difference that God's grace in Jesus Christ makes in our life, even in the face of times of trial and tribulation and intense suffering, Paul says to the church in the 28th verse of the 8th chapter, we know, he says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. That is, as I said earlier, one of the more familiar passages in the Bible, even though I would contend that it is also one of the most misunderstood, misquoted, misapplied passages of Scripture. How many times have you heard someone say, in the face of a most difficult occasion, all of this is going to work out for good. All of this is going to work out for good. And that well-intentioned comment did not offer the people who were hurting, the people who were in a place of pain, it really didn't result in much solace at all. I have stood at the bedside of hospital patients whose medication buttons had quit working so that they had suddenly found themselves in a place of truly excruciating pain. And I could not say to those persons in those settings, you know, this is going to work out for good. This is going to be okay. All of this somehow is going to work out in a way that blesses you. Couldn't say that. It would have been terribly insensitive for me to say that. I remember the time I was meeting with a church member in my office. He had just been given his pink slip. He was being let go, released. He had no more job. He was the breadwinner in the family. His wife did not work outside the home, and now he was facing a most uncertain future. And he didn't know what the next day would hold, and he was there pouring out his emotional distress. How is this any good? How is this any blessing? How does this provide any comfort about what is in store for me and my... And I could not say, oh, this is going to be okay. This is all going to work out. This is for the best. I think of the time I was with the family under that little green tent that gets set up each day, every day, 365 days a year. The little green tent gets set up in a cemetery somewhere in this country. Every day, you can bank on it. Some days it's in this location, every day it's up. And on that occasion, when I was standing under that tent with a family who had experienced tragic loss, an untimely death, paralyzed in their grief, with many people who had come to them saying, this somehow has a purpose. This will work out for good. I could not speak to them those words of assurance. All things do not inherently work out for good. And that is not what this passage of Scripture says. What the passage of Scripture does promise, and what I could promise the patient at the bedside whose button had lost its juice, the breadwinner who had lost his job, the family who had in such untimely fashion lost a loved one, God is present right now. God is here. And God is with us. He's with you in your pain. He's with you in your loss. God has not forsaken you in your grief. And in some way, if you will open yourself to God's presence, God will draw near and do a work at this time in this place that will see you through your pain and your loss and your grief, and will move you to another place that is far better. We'll see you through this time to a better time that is yet to come. That's what Paul is talking about in this passage of Scripture. He is not saying that all things work for good, because, and you have heard people make that statement and express it as if it is some kind of substantive theological word. When anyone says simply, all things work for good, what they have done is they have shoved God to the periphery. They have moved God to the side. They have made God little more than a bit player. They have not called the attention of those who are hurting to the possibilities that only God can bring about. To say to you in your time of pain or distress, look, this really is for your good, is to suggest that if you can't see the silver lining that is in your cloud, something's wrong with you. You lack character, or you lack faith, or you lack courage, or you lack strength, or you lack something that's keeping you from seeing the good that's in this situation? No. There are many times in life, even when for people of faith, we are hurting and there is nothing good about that situation except for the hope that we have in a God who does not forsake us in those times. But when we invite that God to draw near to us and to work in that situation as only God can, the possibilities in even the worst of times are things that will drive us to our knees and cause us to shout glory. That's what we know, Paul says. We know that in all things, God works. You see the difference? It's not in all things, everything's going to turn out. All things work for good. In all things, God works for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. How do we know that? How did Paul know that? How is it possible that you can know that? Because of what Scripture teaches regarding God's Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent into this world to be the means to our salvation. That Friday that we dare call good, Good Friday, when you look at what they did to Jesus, no casual observer would have seen anything good coming out of that. Despised and rejected, beaten and forsaken, nailed to a cross in excruciating pain, feeling the weight of the world's sin, and yes, feeling even abandoned by God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me all alone? Anyone would have said, there's nothing good that can come from this, and they would be right, except for the fact that on the third day, God drew near and did in the life of Jesus and in the death of Jesus what only God could do by raising him from the dead and unleashing into this world the possibility of a power that the world can never comprehend. And so Paul, as he continues writing in the 8th chapter, says to the church at Rome, the sufferings of this present time, the trials and the tribulations that we are going through, can never be compared. I mean, they don't ever match up to the glory that God has reserved for those who trust in his love in Jesus Christ. No, Paul says in the 8th chapter, listen, we are more than, you're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through him who loved us, for I am convinced, persuaded, beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is nothing in this world, there is nothing in all creation, height, depth, angels, powers, principalities, things present, things to come, life, death, there is nothing that will ever separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. This morning, you may be here, you may be listening online, and this is a difficult time for you. You're facing a real challenge. You're in some measure of pain. It may be emotional pain. It may be physical pain. It may be financial pain. It may be vocational, relational pain. You're hurting. You're here today because you are so very hopeful and prayerful that this won't be the last chapter in your story, that there's something more, something better. And the problem is that you've been trying to work this out and it ain't working out for you. And if you're here this morning and you're going through a situation that is not working out for you, what might be the difference by letting God, the same power, listen, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that makes you more than a conqueror, what difference might it make if you trusted your life, your circumstance, your painful situation to a God who could draw near to make possibilities come about, to make a way where a way just doesn't seem feasible, to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, to change your life and change it for the better. I have seen God do that in such remarkable ways. I've seen God do it in my life. You've seen God, if you are a follower of Jesus, do it in your life. But sometimes, you know, when you see how God can transform a life, it just brings such joy to your soul. One of the blessings that I get from being a pastor, a minister, is to see God working in the lives of people that just sometimes staggers my imagination. As I saw God do in the life of a man named Billy. Billy would not mind me sharing with you his story. He was a man in one of the churches I served when I was a very young pastor. South Alabama. Billy was only a member of the church for the last 6 months that I was there in that congregation, though he had been in the community the entire time, but Billy just never saw any need in his life for God or the church. And it wasn't as if he didn't have challenges and concerns and frustrations. I knew that because, you know, part of my daily routine in that small town was to leave the church office and just to go out and pay calls on people just to see how they were doing. You would do that years ago. You just walk into someone's business. I wouldn't take a lot of time. My dad was a businessman, so I knew how the day goes for small town business people. But just to kind of go in and, how are you doing? Thinking about you. It's good to see you. I hope things are going well. Billy and his family owned the drugstore in the community. His wife was a pharmacist. She was very involved in church. In fact, she was a member of the search committee that called me to the church. Very involved. His son, another pharmacist in the drugstore, very involved in the church. So his children, his grandchildren, just there every time the doors were open, but he never came, which made Billy the object of a lot of prayer and a lot of conversation, especially when we would have revivals, which you may not know what a revival is, but there was a time when we would get together for several days and we'd have church, and it was evangelistically oriented, and the gist of the services were designed to call people to faith in Jesus Christ. We wanted people to experience transformation and revival. And so in a small town, everybody knows everybody's business. I grew up in one. I get that. I understood the dynamics. Everybody prayed for Billy. And quite frankly, part of my going by the drugstore was to develop a relationship with Billy that might then lead to a more serious conversation about the answer to his frustrations and his exasperations. Every day, every time I would go in there, I didn't go by there every day, every time I would go in there, hey, Billy, how you doing? He would complain about his asthma, and he was on oxygen. He would complain about the business and how business wasn't as good as he would like to see it be, even though to me, everything just seemed to be going really, really well. And he complained about his favorite college football team. He was just so unhappy with the coaching staff and the players. And grumble, grumble, grumble. Every time I went in there, it would be the same three topics. And sometimes he would add one or two more to the mix. But the tone, the attitude was never different. Grumble, grumble, complain, complain. And then one March of 1987, some of you weren't even born, it happened. Just like we saw the storm come through Louisiana, and massive storm, actually in North Alabama, and all the water, of course, flows toward the Gulf. The town flooded, the entire town, surrounded by a levee, filled up like a bathtub. I mean, essentially, that was it. That's what happened. The levee broke, the town filled up like a bathtub. And it was all underwater. Foot and a half of water on the second floor of the First Baptist Church. Of the second floor. Imagine. His drugstore completely washed away. His family's church. His grandchildren's schools, elementary school, high school, all destroyed. First Sunday, we couldn't get back into church for 9 months. First Sunday, we couldn't find a place to meet. Second Sunday, we worked out an arrangement with an Assembly of God church that was outside of town. It was up on the hill. And so we met there at 8 o'clock in the morning to accommodate their schedule for 9 months. And the first Sunday that we were able to resume our worship, it was like Easter. I mean, the whole town was devastated. So what do? They feel the need to call upon God. And that Assembly of God church was packed with First Baptist people. And in the congregation was Billy. I saw him, I spotted him, and I thought, well, how nice. Billy is here to support his family. He would come at Christmas and Easter and whenever the children were doing their musical or the grand, but any other time. And when he came, he wasn't engaged, but this Sunday, I noticed when we did the readings, Billy was locked in. When we sang the hymns, he had taken out his hymnal, and he really didn't know any of the songs, but he was doing his best to sing them. And he listened that Sunday to the sermon, which is just a normal sermon. But when I extended the invitation, inviting people to come forward to make a decision that God was leading them to make, here comes, and you could hear a gasp in the congregation. You know, it was the answer to everyone's prayer. But you know how that goes. Sometimes you pray for things, it never happens. You give up praying, you think, well, this must not be what God wants. Billy stepped out of the pew and came down. You always wonder what a preacher says to someone who comes forward to make a decision. What decision would you like to make today? And Billy looked at me, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, I'll never forget it. I cannot make it without him. I cannot make it without God. His whole life had been turned upside down. It was beyond his power to manage. I cannot make it without him. And I saw God work for good at a time when it seemed that nothing good could come from that. When we got back into the church months later, first Sunday we were back, I baptized Billy. And after that, whenever I would go by the drugstore just to check in, say, Billy, how are you doing? His asthma had worsened. He was now on oxygen. And the business was now saddled with a loan from the Small Business Administration that they had made to virtually every business in the community at 0%. But if you take out a loan at 0%, you got to pay it back. So now they had more concerns, legitimate ones. And quite honestly, the football team had gotten worse by that time that he pulled for. And yet, in the face of all of those concerns that one time caused him to experience nothing but misery. Billy, how you doing? He looked at me and he said, Doug, honestly believe everything's going to be okay. Honestly believe that. And having seen how God had worked in his life, along with how I had seen God working in the lives of so many others, I looked at Billy and I said, Billy, and I believe that too. Because brothers and sisters, that's how God works. All things are not somehow on their own going to work out for good. But in all things, God is fully capable of working for good in the lives of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And if you can see the difference in those two statements, and more importantly, if you can embrace the difference, then no matter what comes your way, no matter what you're dealing with now, no matter what the future holds, if you will allow him, God will work to bring about his good for you. And you will come to be able to say, everything will be okay. I know it. I know it. If you'd like to talk about how you make that commitment to acknowledge Jesus as your Savior and Lord and experience the promise of God's abiding presence and the grace that is sufficient for your every need, I'd love to have that conversation with you and invite you to make the commitment that God wants you to make. And following the service, I'll be around. We don't do an invitation per se in this service. For that matter, we haven't done an invitation in the traditional service since the pandemic, but I do not want anyone to leave this sanctuary who feels the need to make such a decision without knowing how to do so. So I'll be around for a few minutes. If you're watching online, we have an online submission form. If today you are at a place where you cannot make it any longer without God, his presence, his power, fill out an online submission, and we will be back to engage you in a conversation about how God can do the remarkable thing that only God can do in your life. Thank you for being here today and being a part of this experience of worship. I hope you have a great week. Remember, as you're leaving to exit from the back, moving forward to the front, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Would you stand for a closing blessing? And now, in the face of whatever you may be struggling with, may you come to know that you are more than conquerors through him who loved you, that there is nothing that can separate you from God's love in Jesus Christ, and that in all things, God works for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We pray that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.